Okay, tonight is Monday night, April the 7th, or Gimel Nisan. This is the Gemara Shir, Rav Tzim Masechta Sukkah, Daf Chavav, Amud Aleph, Amud Beis. Okay, Rabotai. Okay, we're on the bottom of Daf Chavav Amud Aleph. The Gemara had stated about the 10 lines from the bottom that you are permitted to eat a snack, Ochlin Achilas Aroi Chutz L'Sukkah, but ain yishenim shenas aroi chutz l'sukkah. But you're not permitted to sleep, take a little drimmel, a little nap out of the sukkah. Rav Ashi explained, zeira shema yirodein. Rav Ashi said that the reason why you cannot take a little nap is because you might ultimately fall asleep. And then you'll be sleeping out of the sukkah. Gemara asked the question then, why is it that the Braisa says that you're allowed to sleep, take a little nap with tefillin, just not a permanent sleep. So let us be concerned there as well that Shema Yeradein, that you might fall asleep and wear your tefillin, and you're not permitted to wear your tefillin when you're sleeping. So the Gemara answered, Bimoser Shinaso La'acherim, that you appointed somebody to wake you up. And that's why you're allowed to sleep, take a little drimmel with your nap, with your tefillin. Ask the Gemara if that's the case. Maskev l'Rav Masharshia, Arveich, Arvatzarech. How can you rely on your little guard? Maybe he'll fall asleep too. Maybe he'll fall asleep as well. So, what's it going to help? You're going to get somebody to wake you up if that guy himself might fall asleep. So Rabbi Baruch Hanna said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan in the first wide line that it's talking about the meniach rosho bein birkov askinan. It's talking about that he put his head between his feet. So in such a posture, it doesn't lend itself to falling asleep for a prolonged period of time, and that's why you are permitted to do so. Then the Gemara quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa said there were three things in the Braisa. One braisa, a person is allowed to sleep shinas aroi, but lo shinas keva, wearing tefillin. Second braisa, you're not permitted to you're allowed to sleep bein keva, bein aroi. And the third braisa, you're now allowed to sleep no keva, but lo aroi. The Gemara says that there is no debate amongst the braisas. They're all talking about three different cases. Ha denoket lu biyadei, so Rashi learned that Nakitlo Biyadei is the middle braisa, which says that if you're holding your tefillin in your hand, you're not allowed to sleep at all, even a 5-minute drimmel, because we're afraid that you'll let go and you'll drop them on the floor. Then the next thing is, when are you allowed to take a little snooze? That's when the tefillin are on your head. And there the only concern is that maybe somebody will pass gas, and that with the temporary snooze we're not worried about. That's, you're allowed to take Shenas Aroi, but not Shenas Keva. And the Parasudra, according to Rashi, is when are you allowed to take both, either a full sleep or a nap, when you take the tefillin off, and what? And put them next to your head. Right? Because Rashi said, Lo nitna tayra l'malachi asharei. So what are you supposed to do? Okay, what can you do? You gotta take a little nap. Now, we mentioned last week that the Rambam disagrees, and the difficulty with Rashi is the following. We're not talking about going to sleep at night here. I'm talking about going to sleep at night. Because at night, everybody agrees you don't wear your tefillin. So when the Gemara says that you're going to sleep and you're allowed to take a full sleep, full-blown sleep, during the, with your tefillin on, one Brisa says with your allowed tefillin, it's not that it's doing, it's not at night, it's during the day. So what did you do? You took off your tefillin, and now the Brisa says you're allowed to go ahead and sleep, because we nit the Torah l'malach ha'asharis. What exactly does that mean, nit the Torah l'malach ha'asharis? And if you took off your tefillin, why do I need a Brisa to tell me that you're allowed to go to sleep? Why not? Why can't you go to sleep? I need a Brisa to tell me if you take your tefillin off, you're now allowed to go to sleep? So therefore, the Rambam learned this a little differently. That the Rambam said the Brisa, which allows you to take a little nap, is talking about the Parasudra. It doesn't mean that what? You took it off, but you covered it. You put some type of handkerchief on top of your tefillin, and we explained it one way last week, and now we'll explain it another way, and then we'll continue with the Gemara in a second. But just a point or two on the Gemara we just raised. The Gemara itself, I think I ran off the sheets. The Gemara itself says that the response to Rav Ashi, who said that, you know, the case is talking about that you appointed a guard. Why are you allowed to take a nap wearing your tefillin? Because you told this guy, wake me up. Right? Wake me up. So the Gemara said, well, he also needs a guard. Maybe he'll fall asleep too. So this is a very difficult statement based on the fact that in Shulchan Aruch, in the Mishnah Brura, in Simon Reish Lamed Hei, Se'if Yud Ches, the halacha is as follows, that if somebody were to come home after work tonight, let's say at 20 minutes ago, came home 20 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, and you're hungry, tired, you want to sit down and catch a couple innings at a game, and then you'll say, I'll dab Marvin, say Kriya Shema a little later, don't worry. Are you allowed to do that? No. Why are you not allowed to do that? Because we're afraid that you're going to fall asleep. And if you fall asleep, you're not going to be able to make kind of mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Nonetheless, says the Mishnah Berurah, that even for a din d'oraisa like Kriya Shema, if I do what? If I appoint somebody, you know what? Please wake me up. In case you find that I fall asleep, wake me up at 10 o'clock so I should be able to daven and say Kriya Shema. Mishnah Berurah says it's perfectly okay. You can even start eating after the Zman of Kriya Shema has already arrived. You can do so if you appointed somebody. So everybody asks, why aren't we concerned that the person who you asked to wake you up, what will happen to him? He'll also fall asleep. How can you suddenly rely on anybody? Our Gemara says, Arvach Arvach Tzarech. So why should there be any difference here under these circumstances? And the answer is as follows. In order for something to go terribly wrong by Kriya Shema, what would have to happen to you and to the guard? What would have to happen? You have to sleep all night. Correct. Let's focus on the din d'oraisa. When are you allowed to recite Kriya Shema at night? All night. Right, we're not talking about the Chachamim, Laharchik Adam and Aveira. Mito Oraisa, the halach is until the next morning. So to claim that somebody who's planning to take a dribble, didn't get into his pajamas yet, he's sitting there on the couch, and he's gonna take a little nap for 10 minutes. There's a pitching change, so he's taking a little dribble, we don't have to worry about it. It's in between periods of the playoff game Wednesday night between the Rangers and the Devils. That's about 15, 18 minutes, you got. So you take a little dribble. So the chances of you, number one, sleeping all night, plus the guy who you asked to wake up also to sleep all night, that's slim enough. However, by Kriya Shema, by tefillin, it's not that, what are you allowed to do when you're wearing tefillin? What are you allowed to do that you wear when you're wearing tefillin? You're only allowed to take shenas aroch.
That's all you've allowed. Everybody says that if you plan to sleep for an extended period of time, and how much is an extended period of time?
The Gemara said, we're going to see it again. How much is an extended period of time? We're going to see it in 1 second. Let's look at it right now. Tani, last line of the page. Rami Bar Yecheskel. Rami Bar Yecheskel quoted a brisa. Kidei hiluch meyo amo. Kidei hiluch meyo amo. The amount of time it would take you to walk 100 amo. Let's be very liberal and generous. An amo is 2 feet. Okay? It's a debate whether an amo is a foot and a half or 2 feet. Let's assume it's 2 feet. 200 feet. How long does it take you to walk 200 feet? How long? 200 feet. What? A minute. Not more than a minute. After that, it is already called Shena Keva, which is Pasul Nechaladeh. Here, when you're talking about a dribble of all of 2 minutes, under those circumstances, says the Gemara very well. If you're going to ask somebody who wants to wake you up, oh, I'm taking a little dribble. A less than a 2 minute nap. Right? So, young man might also, you know, he sees you falling asleep for a second, what might happen to him? He'll also fall asleep. The concern is that the time span during which an allowance is made to tolerate sleeping with this villain is such a narrow window. Therefore, the Gemara doesn't want to tolerate a shomer, because perhaps the shomer will fall asleep, and it doesn't take either you or the shomer to sleep a very long time to already be in violation. But when it comes to Kriyat Shema, the only concern is that you will fall asleep permanently for the entire night. To be chayshish that you and the shomer will fall asleep in your lounge chair all night, and the other guy will fall asleep also, that's not chayshish. But here the concern is that it will suddenly switch from Shenas Aroki, which is permissible, to Shenas Teva, which is not permissible, and therefore there is something to worry about. That's point number one. Point number two. I think I ran off the sheets.
You want to tell the story?
Okay, what you have in front of you is the writ. Please look at the first wide line, the last word on the first wide line, Tana Rabbanan, Ochlin Achilas Aroi Chutz L'Sukka, Ve'en Yishenim Shenas Aroi Chutz L'Sukka. My time amarava lefishein keva l'shena. Why can you not sleep at all out of the sukkah? Because it's difficult to gauge. You know, you plan, I'm going to sleep for 10 minutes, and then you'll sleep for 12, and you'll already violate the halacha of sleeping out of the sukkah. When it comes to eating, that's manageable. There's a certain quantity that you can be in control of. You're allowed to eat X number of ounces. We'll see what the share is in the next Mishnah. And so therefore, it's possible to control. When it comes to sleeping, it's impossible to control. So therefore, they didn't allow you to sleep even 10 seconds out of the sukkah. Good. So now, take a look at the run. On the left-hand side of the run, look at the run on the top of the page, third line, where it says Garcina on the left-hand side. He quotes all of the other brises that our Gemara talks about the halachas of tefillin. That although you're not permitted to sleep out of the sukkah at all, you're allowed to take a little dremel under certain conditions when you are wearing tefillin. Our brisa quoted it right here. And the Ran quotes it as well. After all of the dark, after bold print, it says, V'kosav HaRabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi. See that? Everybody have it? In the middle there, V'kosav HaRabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi, Zal, the Hachi Kaimelon. We paskin like this brisa, which I just quoted for you, says the Ran, and the Rabbeinu Zrachya HaLevi. Namely, that you're allowed to sleep under certain conditions with tefillin on. Under what conditions can you sleep with tefillin on? That depends on which of the brises you accept, how you interpret Parat Sudra. So whichever one you want to take. Let's take the Rambam's interpretation that when you put a handkerchief on top of the tefillin, you're allowed to take a dribble. The Hachi Kainalan, that is the halacha, that there is a distinction between sukkah and tefillin. Now, you know why the Ran has to tell you this? Why does the Ran have to tell you the Hachi Kainalan? Because the Rif didn't quote it at all. He omitted this whole discussion about a distinction between what and what. Between sukkah and tefillin. He just omits it. So the Ran is telling you that the Baal Amar says, despite the fact that the Rif omitted it, the halacha is like this brisa. But the Rif didn't write it. Afal pi shaharav alfasi zal lo kosav brisas halalu b'hil kosav. Did not quote this in his, he never quotes this. And he can't tell me it's only not here in Masechta Sukkah, and he quoted it in Menachos, where there is a discussion of tefillin, it's not there either. So the Rif never quoted a situation whereby you're allowed to sleep at all in your tefillin. The ra'isi le'echad mechach mehador, Shikosav to lo samchinin al kolhani masnaita. We don't rely on any of these brisos at all. Ela arabiyanai samchinan. We only rely on Rabbi Yanai. Taisvis in our Gemara quotes Rabbi Yanai. What did he say? Tfilin sarich guf naki ke elisha bal kinafai. Tfilin always needs what? Gufnaki, ukidaparish abayi verava, shelo yafiach bahem, ushelo yishan bahem. V'chol sheina b'mashma, bein keva, bein arai, adkan. Since the Rabbi Yanai said, tzvilin always have to have gufnaki, So therefore, there are no contingencies whatsoever. I don't want to take a chance that you will ever go into a situation, even with tefillin, that you might violate Kedushas tefillin. And therefore, he believes that this statement of Rav Yannai overrides the brisos that are quoted by us. So says the Rabbeinu Yonah. Now, it would be a little unusual that this would be the case. Why? Rabbi Yannai is an Amor. Chachma Yerushalmi Amor. And it's a little difficult that the Rif would paskin a halacha based on an Amoraic sage when you have what documenting and contradicting him? A brisa. We have a brisa that says, Yoshein, you're allowed to go ahead and sleep. One brisa even says you're allowed to sleep Aroi Ben Keva. One brisa says, at least Aroi, you're allowed to sleep. So how is it possible that he would have gone ahead and paskin like Rabbi Yannai against the Befevish and brisa? It's a little difficult. So the Katsav Olav HaRaivitzel, the Raivitz said, Hechacham Mechachme Hador Shekosav. I'm not sure who he's describing here. Hechacham Mechachme Hador. I don't think he's calling himself the Chacham Mechachme Hador, even though he wouldn't be past the Raivit to identify himself as such, because the Raivit has said things about himself that most people would be afraid to say. When the Raivit believes that he's got the Rambam nailed, he says, even though he can't prove, he says, Soid Hashem Li Reyav. It's a secret of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he shared it with God, the people who fear him. Obviously implying that's me and not the Rambam. So the Raivit has been prone to make these type of outlandish statements about himself. So it's a little difficult if he meant himself. But he says what he's saying. The Ein Yishena Mehem Klal Yofer Kosav. Why? El Shelo Piresh Kol Tzarcho. He's right. You should paskin that you're now out of sleep 5 seconds with tefillin. V'hatam. And this is even equally difficult. L'fi she'ein anu yicholim l'sha'er k'dei hiluch mea ama. Hilkach Ein yishenin bahem klal kishehen barosho, the koshkein kishehen biyado. Avol de poris sudra alayu, umancho bitzido, mutalishon koshena. So he learns poris sudra the way Rashi did. What does poris sudra mean? I took them off. So if you took them off, of course you can sleep as much as you want. That's great. Then again, I don't need a chidush and a brisa to tell me that. But anyhow, you know why he's saying that the rift in quote that you're allowed to take what? Seamus Aroy with his filling on? Because we don't know how to calculate today he looked Meya'am. So strange that should be the reason why the rift is now going to paskin. Really, the halacha is like the price. So why did the rift quote it? Because he doesn't want you to paskin like that price. So why? Because it's impossible to know. Like I said, it's 200 feet. That's all it is. To walk 200 feet, that's the amount of time. It's very, very strange.
No, how is he going to limit himself to that?
No, he's saying the problem is not, he says, ain, we don't know how to, ain on yichon l'sha'er k'dei hiluch me'ama. You mean with sleep. Maybe it's impossible to, okay, so you get an alarm clock. You get somebody to wake you up. Okay, maybe he meant not that it's so difficult to measure 100 ama, but it's difficult to measure, I'm going to go to sleep for exactly 2 minutes? Maybe that's even better. I'm going to go to sleep for 2 minutes? It's impossible to practically engage in that. So therefore, as a precaution, he's telling you, don't sleep at all. But here you have a riff who just ignored the three brises, and the Rabbeinu Yonah and the Raivit disagreeing as to what might have been the reason for this. Yeah.
Can't you say that it's not the Rift Parsons like the Amorite figure of Levi, it's Parsons like only one of the Rises? The answer is that there are three separate Rises and they are...
Correct. But then he's claiming that the three Rises are choking with one another.
In fact, they're not falling, that's an Amorite statement, not a
That's a good point. That's a good point.
In that Gemara, I mean...
Now, the Gemara says loikat, yeah, that's an Amora, of course. An Amora is saying that, right, loikasha, but maybe they really are arguing. That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Does he bring that down?
No, he doesn't.
Even the Gemara over there?
That I don't know. I have to check the Gemara on Shabbos. I didn't check that. Maybe he does. I don't know. That's a good point. Maybe he just learns that this is a really machlokes, and he's passing like one of the brises. That's very possible. That's very good.
Or they use it out because they don't know what a and they rely on Rosh
Hashanah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Last point, and then we go on right there. Last week we mentioned Rabotai. How can anybody allow any sleeping if there is an Isur of Hesach Hadas with tefillin? Remember that question? What did we answer, Rabotai, last week? What did we answer? Hesach Hadas is only when you're awake. And you're thinking about what? Inappropriate activities. But if you're shluffy, there is no Isur of Hesach Hadas. That's what we answered last week. I found two other answers. One, Rabbeinu Yoina, who says, and I'm quoting, Hesach Hadas hu rak schoit v'kalos rosh. Hesach Hadas is only if you're engaged in frivolous behavior. Avalim omeid v'yira af shemisaseg be'umnaso utzrachav lo mikri Hesach Hadas. If you're acting with a sense of recognition, sense of purpose, recognizing where you are. You're not fooling around. Even if you're in the middle of work, that's not called Hesach Hadas. And he argues effectively. Why? Otherwise, how could there ever have been a halacha that you're supposed to wear tefillin all day? The original practice was to wear tefillin all day. You mean to tell me there was an expectation that everybody's going to be the kohen? Every day you're like going to be in a kohel? A whole life you're going to sit in the kohel? No. The expectation is that you go to work. However, says the Rabbeinu Yonah, if you're focused on your job and you're doing that with a measure of dignity and respect, that's not called Hesach Hadas. What is called Hesach Hadas? Joking around. Fooling around. That's called Hesach Hadas. So therefore, there is no... taking a little sleep is certainly not Hesach Hadas. It's not any worse than keeping your mind occupied on your job. That's one answer. There is another answer. I forget who said it. It was one of the Achrayim who says something very sharp. The Rambam is the one who writes that with tefillin, you are not permitted to be Masiach Das Kol Shehu. Afilu rega echad is the lashon of the Rambam Hilchos Tefillin. Shelo yasicho da'ato mehem afilu rega echad. There's a Tosfos in Yuma which asks the following question: how do I know that there is an Isur of Hesach Hadas by tefillin? How do I know that there is such a halacha? So the Gemara attempts to claim that they learn it out from the tzitz, which the Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead. Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead. If you have the, what is written on the word of the tzitz, Kodesh Lashem. So in deference to the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that appears on the tzitz, you have to be aware of what you're doing. You can't start thinking about other things. Yes, it's nice. This. How can you compare tefillin to the tzitz? Tefillin, all of the osios are where they're covered. They're mechusit. The tzitz is exposed. So how can you compare tefillin to the tzitz? Answer: there are three letters that happen to be exposed. The shin, right? The yud in the kesher, and the dalet on the back of the neck. Both are exposed. That's why the Rambam says Torah Sudra works. Correct. If you're Torah Sudra, if you put a handkerchief on your tefillin,
What does that now create? A distinction between what and what? Between the tzitzit and tefillah. Therefore, what this second answer is saying is as follows. You're right that al pidin sleeping should be a violation of Pesach Hadas. Unlike the other answers we suggested. Sleeping is a violation of Pesach Hadas. No doubt about it. But create a situation whereby the halakha of Pesach Hadas doesn't apply.
Why doesn't halakha of Pesach Hadas apply? Because it's no longer analogous to the tzitz. The tzitz is exposed. Once you are mechasa them with parasudra, it's covered. Once they're covered, there's nothing to worry about. Nothing to worry about. Love again, Vaita. We're going to learn a dangerous Gemara tonight. Now,
is there anywhere else that we have
Yeah, by Mechatos. Mechatos. You know, it'll be Masiach Das from that. When you're preparing it. Now the Gemara says, Tanya Nami Hachi. Last line of the page. Hayoshein Bitfillin. Somebody is sleeping with his tefillin. Veroa Keri. And he has some type of discharge. Ochez biritzua ve'eno ochez biktitza. What he should do is he can only touch the ritzuos, but he cannot touch the tefillin themselves. Ktitza is considered the tefillin themselves. Divrei Rabbi Yaakov. V'chachamim oimrim, Yoshein Adam Bitfilin Shainas Aroi Avolo Shainas Keva Kakamo Shainas Aroi Kdehiluch Meo Amo. Fine. So here you have a Machloikis where Rabbi Yaakov says he doesn't say anything that you're not supposed to be sleeping. He just says Hayoshein. And he creates an impression that it makes no difference what type of sleep it is, because he doesn't qualify. He just alerts you to what happens if you had some type of emission, and now you're going to be Terry worried about this. All Rishonim are somehow worried about, since when is about Terry now how to wear tefillin? What's the problem? What's Rabbi Yaakov touching me? Why can't I touch through a tefillin? There's no isur upon a balkari to wear tefillin. A balkari is now allowed to say things. That's the takana. I'll feed him. A balkari can do whatever he wants. But there's a takana of Ezra that a keri should not engage in any divrei Torah. He should not go ahead and learn. We can't say any brachos. And as you well know, we never accepted Takana said it was a Zayr Shein Hasibur Yokolam Ba. But anyhow, that was what he said. So here he doesn't really prohibit any real sleeping, and Tysus points that out. That the relevance for this discussion is that the Rabbi Yaakov says you're allowed to sleep as much as you want. No problem. And the Chachamim come and limit it. The only time you're allowed to sleep is to take a drimmel. That Shena Saroi, and what's considered Shena Saroi, up to Kedei Hiluch Mea Am. Amar Rav. Asur Le'odam Lishon Bayom Yoser Mishenas Hasus. A person is not permitted to sleep during the day longer than a horse takes a little dribble. The Kama Shena Sasus, Shisin Nishme. The time it takes him to take what? 60 breaths. That's the amount of time you're allowed to sleep. Beyond that, you should not sleep. Now, okay, very interesting halach of Rav, and it's quoted by the Rif, and many other people quote this halach. Doesn't say anything about filling. So I obviously I'm leading to a question, is what in the world is he telling us? What do you mean? You're not allowed to sleep more than a sus. Why not? What's the issue? What's the issue? So take a look at Rashi. So Rashi tries to answer the question. Rashi says, Lishon Bayom Mitei Bitul Torah. Rashi says that it's based on Bitul Torah. What's the difficulty with Rashi? What's the difficulty with Rashi? The difficulty with Rashi is that number one, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah is not only limited to daytime. The mitzvah of Talmud Torah is even at night as well. And here Rav's emphasis is Asur L'Adam Lishon Bayom. Obviously Rav never said that at night you can't sleep more than 60 breaths of a sus. So he never would say that. So talk about during the day. At night there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah? In fact, just one second. In fact, if you look at the Rambam, based on a Gemara in Eruvin on the Samach Hayom and Aleph, where the Gemara says, Lo Ivre Sihara Elo Lagirsa. Why was nighttime created? Only to learn. Why? Because you need light in order to engage in productive activity. You're not working out on the fields during the day, during the night rather. So the nighttime is always reserved for Talmud Torah. And that's what the Rambam writes as well in Perek Gimel, Hilchos Talmud Torah, Halacha Yud Gimel. Sheyizaher Adam B'lei Laisav. A person should be very careful with his nights that they don't go away doing nothing. I can understand during the day the Rambam says that you're busy working. That's what you have to do. Vasavta Deganepi, you've got to go work. But at night you can't work. So be careful not to be Mizvazbei Zman during nighttime for Talmud Torah. So since when doesn't this mean? And secondly, Talmud Torah only the Mamasha. If you want to look at the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, it says Vehigisa by Yoimon V'Layim. So if there is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah which is operative 24 hours a day, so then why should even 60 breaths shouldn't be able to sleep? And if you're going to look at it from the point of view that midda oraisa, as many Rishonim say, that you can fulfill the bare minimum of Talmud Torah with Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis and Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, then what's the big deal? I said I daven Shacharis in the morning, I'm going to daven Arv at night, why can't I take a 1 hour nap in the middle of the day? So, Rabotai, the Rambam eliminated, never quoted this halacha. Didn't quote it. It's there. Rambam didn't quote it. So if you look at the Ner Mishmah, Mishnah, you're not going to find the Rambam, because there is no Rambam. Yet the Rif quoted it, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim, Siman Reish Lamed Aleph, Mechaber quotes it. What is the halacha? So the Magen Avraham is troubled by this, and the Magen Avraham just writes, Bal Nefesh Yachmira Al Atzmai. Bal Nefesh Yachmir Al Atzmai. What does this mean? The Magen Avraham understood that Rav is not communicating to us any real Issa. Because if he came up with a real Issa, it would be his obligation to furnish us the halakhic basis of this Isur of why you're not allowed to go to sleep in the middle of the day. So therefore, the Magen Avraham interprets Rav's statement as being nothing but Bal Nefesh Yachmer Al Atzmai. So he should be, you know, every night, be a night, be a tzaddik, and that's it. But beyond that, it's almost impossible to explain, and that's why everybody disagrees with Rashi and says that you can't create an Isur Mipnei Bitul Torah. If you wanted to say it's only an advice, it's a chumrut, midas chasidus, that I understand. What? I know. I am only sharing with you the difficulty. Asur does not sound like midas chasidus. I grant you that right away. 1000%. Yeah.
What you're saying is that in Achanan, you do have a mitzvah. It would be Bakwanus both daytime and nighttime. But the fact is that a person needs that to sleep, and the time for sleep is nighttime. if you're going to sleep. So if you sleep at nighttime, it's because you have to sleep. It's because human beings have to sleep. But sleeping in the daytime is your window.
Now,
daytime is not the if somebody sleeps during daytime, it's a different category.
So let him go to, so what is he sleeping on? He's in the middle of his work job.
So that's what he's saying. Right. If you have time to sleep working,
so that, those 60 seconds you should be learning.
Right.
We understand it.
About 4 or 5 minutes. 60 breaths.
60 breaths? 4 or 5 minutes. Okay. Okay. 3.5 minutes? He's got a half. What? Isn't it? It's 15.
About 12 to 14 for a person.
A person? Okay. Oh, listen, it's a big 5 minutes. Okay. Oh. Good. Lama Gain Vaita. Omar Abaye. Omar Abaye. Shinsei Demar Kidrav. The sleep, you, my Rebbe, Rabba Bar Nachmehi, is like Rav. You learn from Rav. And that, what did Rav do when he took a nap during the day? Less than these, less than his 60 breaths. Udirav Kidrebi. Where did Rav learn this from? From Yehuda Anasi. That was Rav's Rebbe. It was Rav Yehuda Anasi. Uda Rebbe Kidu David. Rebbe had a Kabbalah that David HaMelech, only if he took a nap during the day, it was only up to 60 breaths. Okay? Uda David Kidu Susya. And David, how much did David sleep? Only the 60 breaths of the horse. Udesusya, and how much is that? Shikin Nishme. How much does a horse sleep at one time? 60 breaths worth. Very nice. So now we have tracing this halacha of Rav going all the way back to David HaMelech, that the maximum he would sleep is in the daytime is... Okay. Now with David HaMelech, already there are agadic statements as to what was running through David HaMelech's mind. It had nothing to do with being Mevatel Talmud Torah. The Gemara says that David HaMelech knew of the fact that what? That he was on borrowed time, exactly. And therefore, lo ratza lit'om tamisa. He didn't want to sleep. Exactly, precisely. He didn't want to create a situation whereby the Malach HaMavis would be able to get to him. So if he was sleeping, the Malach HaMavis is, you're ready? Because we know that sleeping is acha, is 1/60th of what? Of death. So if you're sleeping like this already, you're already in the Malach HaMavis' hand, it's a little easier. So the reason why David never slept more than this is because he didn't want to give in to the Malach HaMavis. And then, everybody knows those stories which you have to be Masiach Das from David HaMelech so that the Malach HaMavis will be able to get there. So David HaMelech's concern was not Bittul Torah, but Shelo Ratza Lit'om Tamisa. That was running through his mind. I don't know. Well, we know that it says, Chatzos Laila Okel Lehoido Yislucha. He got up at midnight to say, Tikkun Chatzos.
Right.
Yeah. The question is how long you slide. That's all. Yeah. Abaye have a naim kidem ayo mi pompadisa lebe kube. Abaye used to take longer naps during the day. It was the amount of time that it would take you to walk from Pompadisa to Bekube. And apparently Rashi says this was 6 parsen. A parsen is almost a mile. The amount of time it would take you to walk 6 miles. Okay? Kari ole Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef let him have it for sleeping so long. At Matzai Otzel Tishkav. How long will the lazy one sleep? Matzai Tapu Mishnascha. When are you getting up, lazy one? So Rav Yosef didn't particularly like Abaye's sleeping habits, that he used to sleep, take a nap in the middle of the day. Took a nap in the middle of the day. Tana Rabbana. Hanichnas lishon bayom. If somebody is going to sleep during the day. And Rashi adds, take a look at Rashi, critical Rashi. Hanichnas lishon she'ein kavanaso elo lishon ve'eino meharer ledavar acher. So Rashi is going to buy into what? To the Perush that we offered last week, that if you are Masiyah, if you're sleeping, that will not be an issue of Hesach Hadas. It's when you're thinking about other things that can be Hesach Hadas. But if you're sleeping, that's not called Hesach Hadas. Therefore, Ratza Choleitz, Ratza Meiniach. If you want to leave your tefillin off, you want to take your tefillin off, be my guest. If you want to leave them on, that's perfectly okay. Why? Take a look at Rashi again. Ratzo meiniach, why are you allowed to leave the tefillin on? One, l'fishi bayom ein darko l'shamesh im ishto. It's not the normal pattern to have marital relations during the day. V'lo lishon keva. It's also not the pattern to take shenas keva. So even if you are going to once in a while fall asleep, nishkeferlach, your intention is only to take shenas aroi, and therefore you're allowed to leave your tefillin on. Balayla, but if you go to sleep during the day, at night, choleitz ve'eino maniach. You must take your tefillin off, and you're not permitted to leave them on, you must take them off. Divrei Rabbi Yossi. So that's Rabbi Nassim, as Rabbi Nassim says. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Hayiladim le'olam chotzin ve'ein manichin, children who wear what? Tefillin, and they go to sleep, they have to take their tefillin off even during the day. So Rashi says, because young boys, their minds are always dreaming about certain things. And as a result, that'll lead them to Tumas Keri. And for this reason, they should take their tefillin off. That's a very good question. What age are we talking about? What? Correct. Bachurim, in all probability, Rashi, I don't think he's coming to tell us that it wasn't girls. Even though maybe in Rashi's case, Rashi's daughters, according to tradition, did wear tefillin. But in a probability means kids below bar mitzvah. And there is no doubt that the mitzvah of chinuch applies to the mitzvah of tefillin as well. The Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Mem Beis, says that when a katan hayodea lishmor tefillah, of it kainel on tefillin. When a child knows and understands what kedusha tefillin is all about, father is obligated to purchase him a pair of tefillin. So we don't, based on the fact that we do it only very close to Bar Mitzvah, because we ourselves don't wear tefillin most of the day, so we're very, very machmir on a child. But at the time of the Gemara, when they wore tefillin all day, children wore tefillin much earlier than our stage today. But yet, if that's the case, look what Rashi says little kids are thinking about when they're below age Bar Mitzvah. Now you might be tempted to say that Bakurim might mean young adults. Yes. What's the cutoff point? 18? 17? 21? Maybe that's what it is. That's possible. Because I agree with you. It's a little, if the reason is the way Rashi says it, that he's Machmas, that is, he has Hirhurim Ra'im, and it's going to lead to Tumas Keri, it's a little difficult if we're talking about an 11-year-old or a 12-year-old.
No, it's a chiluk. And with the suffix, does it take a moment? If there's any suffix, any chance he might be in the body of the tefillin, and these people are not high, then why would you keep him on at all?
Okay, because for which point? For an adult?
We're really talking about Yeladim.
Right.
Yeladim.
Right.
And talking about people that are, we're just doing for chinuch.
Right.
So why would they take them off? Because
there's no reason to take it off. Why should a kid who is taking a 5-minute nap, why should he have to take off his film and an adult doesn't have to take off his film? No, this is Bayoi. Everybody takes them off Balayla. Rabbi Yossi says, when he says that Hayyuladim, he's talking about Bayoi. La'olam chol sin, whenever they go to sleep, because an adult had the choice. Choleit omenia. Said Rabbi Yossi, kids don't have that choice. Asked the Gemara, Lema kasava Rabbi Yossi, balkeri asur lahaniach tefillin. Is it possible that Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that a balkeri is not permitted to wear tefillin? And due to the fact that the possibility that a katan, a minor, will experience keri, therefore you're telling him to take off his tefillin the minute he goes to sleep? What's the problem? Amar Abaye, listen to this. B'yiladim unishoseyen imahen askinan. Shema yavo liye hergel davar. Okay, what is he talking about? What? Young married couples. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about little pictures. It's the book of young married guys. And their wives happen to be around as well. So because of the fact that what? That their wives are around, therefore, it might lead them to carry. But it's not that Rabbi Yossi necessarily says that, and this will lead to Kalus Reish. That's what he really means. It's nothing to do with really so much carry. Since what? The wives are around, and these guys are young at heart, so what's going to happen? They're going to start having a little romantic get-togethers. And that will lead to what? To a bizuy of tefillin. For this reason, little kids should take off their tefillin. Married little kids. Says the Gemara Tana Rabbana, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Shachach v'shimesh mitaso betfillin. Somebody went ahead and had relations wearing tefillin. Obviously during the day. Eino oches lo biritzua v'lo biktzitza atche yitul yadav v'yitleim b'nei shahayadayim iskanios hein. You never know where your hands touched, and as a result, one should avoid touching the tefillin in any location, not only not to touch the batin, but to touch your hands as well. And based on this, based on the fact that your hands, quote unquote, became tmeim as a result of touching areas which they should not be touching, which is normally the definition of a part of a body which is generally mechusa, that normally renders one's hands tamei for this and requires netilas yadayim. There is also, we know that there are some who say, that if you touch your hair, you should wash your hands also. That's why there are some people who are nizar, that whenever they put on tefillin, right after they put on tefillin, what do? They don't wash their hands. Because it's impossible to put on tefillin without touching your hands, without touching your hair. And then after that, they're always mocked that if they're going to have to straighten out the tefillin, they never touch it with their hands directly. They'll take their talus and wrap it around and try to straighten it out with the talus. But if you touched your hair and then touched your tefillin, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that your yadayim are askanios, your hair is a source of quote-unquote tuma, and therefore you must go ahead and wash your hands once again. But there are a lot of people, I see that, you know, right after they put on their film, they go right away to the sink and wash their hands. Yeah? What?
the very air that you're washing your hands.
Correct. It's only that the yadayim become prone to this type of toma. Nothing.
It's not that you're mitame, like what the sheet. I'm not mitame the gemara. Now, obviously, it's a good question. Well, if you say that the tefillah is sitting on your hair, that's not covered. But your hands touch it, it becomes covered. It's your hands. I don't know. I can't explain the halacha at all. I don't know.
True of the arm also, because the guy must sit there also mocked
it. I know. But yeah, but what are your asanios here? You know,
with your hands.
Right.
Touch any part of their body that's not covered also.
Correct. Okay, so then
same question applies. You have
no, but that's your hands. That's not a part of your body that we would normally say darkei la'adam lechasos, because in our practice we wear you guys wear long sleeve shirts, right? That's not al pidin. There's no chiyuv to cover. There's no chiyuv to cover your shoulder, your muscles. You know, farmers, when they worked outside, they didn't cover this. That's not considered an area which is darkei lechasos. Yeah. Very, very unusual gemara. Yeah. Okay, let's just read the Mishnah, which will introduce us to a major topic, which the Gemara touched upon, but did not precisely define. And there is enormous discussion of Rishayim. What constitutes Achilas Aroi? Shenas Aroi was precluded entirely for Sukkah. The only discussion that we had was in relationship to what? To Tul. But Achilas Aroi is Mutter Chutz L'Sukkah. What is the definition of Achilas Aroi? So let's read the Mishnah, then we'll see the Rush is a titanic machloikis quoted in Rishayim. Ma'ase v'heviyo lo l'Rab Yochanan ben Zakkai lit'om es hatavshil. Once upon a time, there was a episode where they brought Rab Yochanan ben Zakkai episode to taste something. Okay. Now, it doesn't say what he did. Did he eat it out of the sukkah? It doesn't say. Mishnah's missing a lot of words. Ulu Rab Gamliel, Shtei Kosvos, Udali Shomayim, and they brought Rab Gamliel what? Two dates, and a pail of water, the Amru, and they said, Ha'alum the sukkah, take this into the sukkah. Ukishinasna loyla Rabbi Tzadok, and when they gave Rabbi Tzadok, assumingly something like this, Achal, Ochel pachos mikabetza, he ate less than a kabetza. Not lo b'mapa, v'ochlo chutz l'suka, v'lo birech acharav. So he did three things. Number one, he ate less than a kabetza. So if he ate less than a kabetza, he now did two other things. One, it was he ate a chutz l'suka. Number two, he did not wash. Okay, we're going to see. He didn't wash, and he didn't make any brach achrayim. Didn't make any brach achrayim. So, let's take a look at Rashi. Ochel pachas mikabetza, machol pachas mikabetza. Now, in the statement here, does it tell us what he ate pachas mikabetza? It does not. Are we talking about, is it a comment on what Rav Gamliel insisted that you do go out of into the sukkah? What was Rav Gamliel eating? Fruit. Two dates. So, and water. So is now Rabbi Tzodo coming and saying, you know what? I'll eat less than what? A kibetza of what?
Fruit.
A fruit. What will the inference be? That if I eat more than a kibetza of fruit, what do I have to do? I have to go what? And have to eat the sukkah. And what happened, or was he commenting on what Rabbi Yochanan was eating? A tavshil. Maybe a tavshil has rain in it, who knows, we don't know. But it's possible that he's commenting on what Rabbi Gamliel said, and that's obviously going to spawn the whole debate, that if you eat more of a shear of fruit, are you obligated to eat the sukkah or not? Yes.
Right. Right. Yeah. I hear what you're saying. Now let's take a look at the next Rashi. Not lo b'mapa. Lo notal yadav ela korach b'mapa yadav mishum nekiyus. It has nothing to do. Why did he take a napkin? Because of cleanliness. That's all. Not because it required. What? Exactly. Not that it required Natilas Yadayim. Now, there could be, does this indicate at all whether he's eating grain or eating fruit? No, because in the time of the Mishnah, how did they often eat fruit? Tibula b'mashke. And therefore, and for all fruits that are dipped in liquid, what do you require? Natilas Yadayim. So it still could be talking about that what? That I was eating fruit. It's possible. But here, the kasavar pachos mekebeitza. If you eat less than the shear of a kebeitza, lo boy mekilos yadayim, for lo boy sukkah, for lo boy berchas hamazon la'achlov. Ah, you don't need benching afterwards. The darish Rabbi Yehuda, v'yachalta v'savata uveirachta, achila shiyesh bo sriya, v'haynu kebeitza. Avol lefanav a bracha rishayna bechol luhu boy bracha. Sharei nene va'asu lehanos min olam hazeh b'lay bracha. So now, is this any mandatory obligation to say that he was eating grain? No, because maybe he was following Rav Gamliel Shita. Those of you who remember the Mishnah bracha, what did Rav Gamliel say after he ate fruit from the Shiva Samidin? Side of Berkhus Namadu. Fruit of the Shiva Samidin. Fruit. Shiva Samidin. He said benching. So maybe Rav Tzadok, Rav Elazar Bar Tzadok followed that opinion as well. But if you eat Pachas Mekebeitza, you don't have to watch. So this will continue next above. See exactly what we're talking about he was eating, what the chiddush is that he doesn't need a tefillah shidayim, what the chiddush is he don't need sukkah, and whether or not we can come to a conclusion. The rush did. The rush was machmir, never to eat tefillah out of the sukkah. Thanks, Congress. We'll see.